This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by the Club at Lac La Belle, one of the oldest and most beautiful courses in Wisconsin. The course was recently restored and recreated for a unique golf experience for both members and non-members. Lac La Belle is located in Oconomowoc, a convenient distance between Milwaukee and Madison. The semi-private golf club had its grand opening June 20th. Yes, all 18 holes now open. Find out more on its website at clubatlaclabelle.com.
We welcome in Gary D'Amato. I'm Rob Hernandez, and it is another eventful Monday here as we get back to Talking.Golf, Gary D'Amato. I was out at Whistling Straits earlier today before heading over to a Players Tour event on the Wisconsin PGA Junior Tour at Black Wolf Run, and I thought it was kind of odd that there was nothing going on, and there are published reports now saying that the Ryder Cup is off until 2021. What do you think of the news, and do we think that this is indeed the that news that we were waiting for, that it will eventually become official from the PGA of America?
Well, it's funny, Rob. You know, you texted me a picture that you took of the 18th hole at Whistling Straits with absolutely no infrastructure being built, no grandstand going up, no corporate hospitality. I mean, it just was a golf hole. And when I saw that picture, I said to myself, how in the world are they going to hold the Ryder Cup if we're 3 months out and they haven't started any building? Minutes later, we get the report, or I found out the report anyway, in The Guardian that the Ryder Cup reportedly will be canceled or postponed until next year. So it didn't come as a shock. Everything considered, with coronavirus, the pandemic, and all the other sporting events being canceled, and we all know how important galleries are to the Ryder Cup, Rob. So not shocking, but disappointing nonetheless.
Well, and I guess the thing that really we're wrestling with here is, you know, 50% was the talk of, in terms of attendance. I'm not sure we're ever going to get to that yet this year. Are you, Gary?
No, you know, as a matter of fact, Rob, the PGA of America just put out a news release today that there will be no spectators at the PGA Championship in August at TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. So, yeah, I mean, the Memorial, I think, is still going ahead with its plans for limited spectators, but more and more tournaments seem to be, you know, dropping galleries entirely. And, you know, we might not see it, but a handful of tournaments with spectators at them this year. So a strange year all the way around, Rob.
Well, it sure is. And I know you and I have talked on past Talking.Golf that I think we're in agreement that a Ryder Cup with no fans, absolutely not. A Ryder Cup with limited attendance is still kind of a, I don't know, to me, an asterisk year. And now at least we have the chance to sort of give this coronavirus pandemic another year to figure itself out before we, you know, stage a major sporting event in Wisconsin that golf fans here have looked forward to forever, and maybe see if we can play it under normal or closer to normal circumstances.
Yeah, you know, even, you know, Steve Stricker, the captain of the U.S. team, obviously from Madison, was on board with maybe a 50% reduction in gallery size, but even that would have sucked a lot of the life out of the event, I think. That is an event, Rob, as you well know, and as many of our listeners know, that really demands that there be, you know, 10,000 people around that first tee, and that there be huge galleries following the matches, and, you know, jeering and cheering and cheering the U.S. good shots on our soil, and of course the vice versa when it's in Europe. So that event has to have a full contingent of spectators, I think. I just don't think, as many have said, that it's the same without that ingredient.
When we get the official word, Gary, what do you expect the drill to be in regards to President's Cup, Ryder Cup? You know, in theory, could they be played in the same year, or would you expect a postponement of the President's Cup as well for next year into 2022?
Yeah, according to that report in The Guardian, there's no word yet on what's going to happen with the President's Cup, but I cannot see both of those events obviously being played in the same year, even if they're months apart. So I would anticipate the President's Cup, if this report is true, being pushed back to 2022. And from what The Guardian report said, the Tour and the PGA of America are going to be happy to get the Ryder Cup off of an Olympic year after next year. Of course, the Olympics will be held next year, and then the Ryder Cup would be held in the same year. But after that, I believe the Olympics would go back to a normal schedule, and the Ryder Cup would be off the same year. I think at least that's the way it shapes up right now. I'm not 100% sure of that, but I think that's the way it looks.
Gary, how about, in your opinion, the impact of this on, you know, the golfers who would have been in contention to play this year, qualify for the teams, and now have to wait another year? I mean, golfers of all ages don't get any younger, and do you anticipate major changes to who we might see at Whistling Straits next year versus this year?
Oh, it's very possible, Rob. As you well know, you know, a golfer can get very hot for a year or a year and a half and then tail off. We've seen it with Jordan Spieth, who seems to be making a bit of a comeback, which is great for golf. But any one of these guys, you know, in the middle of the pack of those standings, you know, could go into a slump and potentially not make the team. Or there could be guys who are 50th in the points right now who could have an amazing 2021 first half of the season and just climb right up those rankings. So I do expect there would be some changes in the team makeup. How about you?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, again, we're seeing young golfers get hot. We're seeing the Colin Morikawas and the Matthew Wolfs, you know, coming out each year. And I just think that the new guard is really what's dictating the PGA Tour. A lot of these guys, even at, you know, Jordan Spieth's age in that neighborhood, are struggling to maintain, you know, their status, not their status on the tour, but their stature on the tour, because you get so many of these great young players. And then, of course, now this gives another year for, you know, Tiger Woods to figure out his back. It gives Phil Mickelson another chance. He'll be 51, I guess, what, next year by the time the Ryder Cup rolls around. Wouldn't that be something? It's almost he's almost getting to be, wasn't Raymond Floyd 52 when he played one time? And, you know, I there's all sorts of great storylines that could develop in a year's time. But I think one of the great ones is, you know, who might become the next big thing out there that could help kick this U.S. team, you know, Whistling Straits.
And, Rob, it gives Bryson DeChambeau another year to add 40 more pounds and hit the ball 420 off the tee.
Can you imagine that? He's going to come into this thing looking like the Crusher. I mean, he already is. I mean, holy cow. Yeah, no doubt about it. I just that and again, with everything else that's going on, we seldom bring in the other worlds of sport into our conversation here because we are talking about golf. But, I mean, you know, they're trying to, you know, nurse college football, you know, into existence here with some off-season workouts. And there's still positive tests for the coronavirus that are making people think long and hard about whether this can happen or not. And, I mean, golf has been from day one of this thing a very safe sport, but it's safe under the right conditions. And unfortunately, at this point, playing in front of 50,000 fans and, you know, at this very point in time is not the best option. And I guess I applaud if this is indeed the direction the PGA of America is going in the European Tour. I think it's, you know, the right way to go. I just, you know, the one thing I was going to ask you about, though, Gary, what impact does it have on the PGA of America? You just said that they're going to play the PGA Championship without fans. I mean, this is a really, really big move on their part to postpone, you know, the Ryder Cup on their soil. And I'm sure it's not one taken lightly, but, boy, what a year for that organization.
Yeah, and not only the PGA, Rob, but the European Tour, which as we know, is really hurting for money. It's a distressed tour. And I can imagine that they were dragged kicking and screaming into the no Ryder Cup this year ranks. I would imagine Ryder Cup Europe and the European Tour would have really desperately wanted this to go on this year, but probably came to the same conclusion that we came to here and that everyone else has come to, that it's just not the right time and place to go on with an event, especially one without fans this year.
Gary, the weird thing about this is that, you know, in Wisconsin at least, we're you know, really kind of amping up the tournaments and the tournament coverage. We had the State Women's Open last week. That was won by Badger golfer Emily Lauterbach down at the legend at Brandybrook in Wales. And a busy, busy week this week with the state match plays going on, the women's state match play. at Hidden Glen in Cedarburg, and the men's state match play with the brand new format down at Strawberry Creek in Kenosha. It seems weird, doesn't it? To, you know, I guess, you know, two different levels, two different, you know, from what I saw last week at the State Women's Open, it's a very safe environment to be playing modest competitive golf. And I think we're going to have a good week of coverage here, and I just don't see a problem with it. Do you?
No, I'm curious, Rob. One thing we didn't talk about, were there a handful of spectators at the Women's State Open, or was it were there not many spectators there?
There were a handful. I don't know if they put limits on the. So I was at a Players Tour event here at Black Wolf Run today, and it was supposed to be one or two family members per child, there aren't a whole lot of spectators to begin with. So I think they're using common sense when they assess any limits or whatever they might do. But last week there were a fair amount of spectators, but nothing that brought anybody too close to one another. So I think they exercised good judgment there.
Yeah, Robin. And the key, of course, in the match plays, there probably won't be many spectators. One event later in the week, though, that could get some spectators out is the Ray Fisher 72-hole amateur championship at Jamesville Riverside. I know they have a reduced field for that event, but no, that's an event that typically some people come out to watch, and I wonder if it'll have the usual number of people or if that'll be down. Not sure, but you're right, Rob. Competitive golf is back in full swing in Wisconsin, and it seems at odds with what's going on with some other announcements in the golf world, for sure.
Well, and you mentioned the Ray Fisher tournament at the end of the week. I know we heard last week that Tony Romo has entered the tournament, so Tony always tends to bring out a few people to watch him play golf, no matter what platform he's playing on, whether it's the PGA Tour, the Celebrity Tour, or the Amateur Tour here in Wisconsin. And so we'll have to kind of monitor that. Going back, I mean, the Ray Fisher is one, too, Gary, with the history of Steve Stricker being in it. When he was growing up in nearby Edgerton, he would always get a couple dozen people out to watch. But, it's just, apples and oranges when compared to what we're talking about at the, at the professional level. And so far, we just haven't seen a return to normal there. So we'll continue to monitor that. The new format at the state match play, it's all matches all the time. The 64 golfers qualified for the for the event, playing pool play, and then the top 16 will advance the knockout round. A little different twist on it. Gary, what do you think of the format?
I like it. Obviously, taking after what's happened with the World Golf Championships, Accenture Match Play Championship, or I don't know if Accenture sponsors it anymore, but I can't keep track of the PGA title sponsors, but the Match Play Championship.
Right.
I like the format. What do they do about the guys who finish 1-1 in pool play, Rob? How's that settled?
They are. I talked last week to someone at the State Open, and it was going to be, that's a good question. I believe what I heard was that they're going to do a sudden death playoff. And so,
okay.
And essentially it's going to be like a 20th hole. And, where you've tied, after playing the three other people in your pod, that will be the tiebreaker will be, the extra hole. And even though, technically it's a stroke play kind of feel to the sudden death, that you're still going to win the hole, and then you still go on to the knockout round. So I think that'll be exciting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be out covering the final matches at Strawberry Club at the Strawberry Creek. It's just 25 miles from my house. I'm looking forward to that. You're going to be all over the state this week, aren't you, Rob?
Yeah, I'll be there tomorrow. If there are any playoffs, we may try to bring the old phone charger and go live with a couple of them. But Jim Kelsey and I are heading down there tomorrow for the final round of pool play, and then whatever playoffs are needed to decide those 16 spots out of those pool play brackets. So that'll be interesting. Women's match play, Gary, kind of a little more conventional. They had stroke play qualifying this morning. I believe I saw Ashley Kulka, University of Wisconsin Green Bay golfer, wins with a 74. They're playing their first round matches this afternoon. There'll be two rounds tomorrow and then a championship match on Thursday or on Wednesday. Jim and I will be heading over to Cedarburg for that one. And then I'll head on to the afternoon session of the WPGA Junior Championship. Numbers down there a little bit, interestingly. It's the only tournament on the WPGA Tour where they've seen fewer kids sign up than normal. But, again, it's just you get to a point where, sometimes that's a good thing, too, that you don't have too many kids on site. But that's Wednesday and Thursday. So that piggybacks the final day with your final round of the state match play. And then, boom, right into the Ray Fisher. I'll be there Friday. You'll be there Saturday and Sunday. I can't think of a busier week of golf on the calendar. Can you, Gary?
No, I can't, Rob. And it's, 6 weeks ago we would have been saying, are we going to be at any of these things? So I'm just happy that golf is back to the extent that it is, and that we're able to cover some of these events, and more importantly, that some of these golfers, young golfers, are getting a chance to to work on their games, display their talent, and have a chance to compete in an environment, in a tournament golf environment.
Definitely. And, of course, some of these are shooting some pretty low scores. They do a feature here for a little bit later in the week now on Ty Kretz out of Maryland. He shot 64 on the WPGA Junior Tour at Cherokee Country Club, where Pete was a former assistant pro under Larry and Dennis Tiziani. And then 2 days later, after winning the event with a 75, a fairly pedestrian 75 at Beaver Dam Country Club, Ty came back and made a birdie putt on the final hole at the Beloit Club to break Ryan Helminen's course record with another 64. And then today, he rallied from one shot back to force a playoff with Bryson Mercier of Powers, Michigan, kind of up in Hunter Eichhorn's territory, Gary. And then Bryson made a great birdie putt on the second playoff hole. He has lipped one out for par on the final hole of regulation at number 18. So he kind of scored a little revenge on that hole. But a pair of 64s, that's pretty cool. But, Gary, you wrote about a guy who almost had a shot at a 59 up at Sand Valley.
Yeah, something's in the water here with all these little scores, Rob. My goodness, 64s by a young Ty Kretz, and a 60 by Charlie Galsman. Par 73 at Mammoth Boons, Rob. He was 13 under after 16 holes. Can you imagine that? And he parred the final two holes, had a four-footer for 59 on a par 73 course, no less, and missed the four-footer on the 18th hole. But he hit it. He missed on the high side. He hit it through the break, which is better than not giving it enough gas and leaving it on the low side, right? So, there have been very few scores of 59 or even 60 for that matter that I know of shot in Wisconsin history. So Charlie Dousman joins a very, very small club.
And lastly, Gary, since we last did a podcast, a lot of movement afoot with the Bullet Pinehurst Farms in Sheboygan Falls. It looks like we have a solid buyer. It looks like we might have golf at the Bowl in 2020.
Rob, the third time's a charm, right? After a couple of failed attempts to go through with the sale for the Bowl, it looks like this one's going to go through. A couple of businessmen from the Cedarburg area, and very happy that it appears that we'll have golf starting maybe in July, hopefully up at the Bowl. It sounds like the course has been maintained to a pretty good standard by the bank, because they were hoping to sell it as a golf course and that the new owners could step in and seamlessly start having rounds of golf on the course. So looks like that's going to happen, and I think golfers, in southeastern Wisconsin and throughout the state should be happy, because the Bowler really is one of the very, very, very fine public facilities in our state. So happy golf is going forward there, and happy that there are owners, it looks like, who are going to take over here shortly.
Well, that is good news. I tell you, Gary, you never know what to expect on Talking.Golf. 1 week, we've got a Ryder Cup and no bowl. The next week, we have a bowl and no Ryder Cup. So there you go. No bowl.
That's no bowl, yeah. Yeah.
That's no bowl. Well, Gary, appreciate your time here on Talking.Golf. We'll see what the landscape holds again next week. How's that sound?
Sounds good, Rob. Thanks a lot.
All right. For Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, this has been Talking.Golf.
Talking.Golf is sponsored by the Club at Lac La Belle, one of the oldest and most beautiful courses in Wisconsin. The course was recently restored and recreated for a unique golf experience for both members and non-members. Lac La Belle is located in Oconomowoc, a convenient distance between Milwaukee and Madison. The semi-private golf club had its grand opening June 20th. Yes, all 18 holes now open. Find out more on its website at clubatlacklabelle.com.